whole lot of saunter and sway on the odd and magical Adult Fantasy, the new 2SER feature album. Listen to Breakfast, Drive and Static for your chance to win a digital copy. Adult Fantasy by Spod, this week's feature album on 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music.
Good morning, you're on 2SER 107.3, and that lovely screeching means that this is the Vulture's Nest. Thank you to Andrew Popel for another invigorating instalment of Full Draft. Here in the Vulture's Nest each week, we pick apart a few stories from the week's news and culture. I'm your host, Sean Morahan, and I'm pleased to welcome this week's Nest guest, Joe Cutcliffe.
Thanks for having me, Sean. It's great to be here.
Yeah, good to have you back. Later in the program, Joe and I are going to talk about noise, who's making it and who's complaining about it. But before we get to that story, crank your volume to 11, wind down your windows, point your radio at your neighbour's house as we discuss a story about rip-offs. The news.com.au website this week published an opinion piece by Charisse Chang titled 10 of the Biggest Ways Consumers Are Overcharged. There was a few things there that raised my eyebrows and maybe a few that raised yours and maybe even your temperature as we go through them. I thought what we might do, they were listed from 1 to 10, but I thought let's go the opposite way. And Joe, I'd like your opinions on some of these.
Counting down.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Add to the tension. It makes for good radio.
I think so.
Number 10.
Yeah.
Was vending machine credit card charges.
I didn't even know about this. So I feel like this already is a very informative article. But as you know, as we're discussing before the show, the only time I've ever used a vending machine is painfully hungover on a platform at a train station, and I'd pay anything for a Fanta at that point.
I'm similar to you. I think it's usually late at night. I've had a few drinks. I'm trying to catch the last train home or work out what I'm going to do because I've missed the last train. I need a little bit of sustenance, whether it be a stale bag of burger rings or a flat bottle of Fanta. And, with the label, the label's so sun-faded that you can hardly recognise
Absolutely.
What it is.
I don't think I've ever got a vending machine to work with a credit card or with tapping the phone or anything. I assumed that all vending machines were just Banksy installations by this point. I've never been able to get a Fanta out of one of them. If anyone has, I'd be very interested to hear. But to be honest, paying an extra 20 cents for a Kit Kat, as the article claims, I mean, really?
Well, some days I do dress up as a giant 50-cent coin and try and put myself into a vending machine through that slot because Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world.
Good.
But so that bypasses the credit card charges. Now, so in the article it did explain that you don't necessarily realise, or you're not necessarily made clearly aware, that if you are going to use your credit card to pay at a vending machine, there are going to be extra charges.
Do we just not all assume in today's society, though, that anything that is a slight convenience is going to cost money? Like, I mean, we've got a whole generation paying $5.50 each time they want to eat to get it delivered to their door by some guy on a bike.
Yeah.
I mean, I just assume that everything now comes with a hidden charge if it's slightly more convenient.
Yes, or even if it's posing under the banner of convenience.
Convenience, yeah.
Because, I've seen convenience stores where I've had to walk an entire block to get to them, which isn't all that convenient.
It's an inconvenience store.
And, they've charged me a lot more.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Number nine,
referral and script fees for doctors.
Yeah, again, I feel like this is claiming that if you've left it too long and you've lost your script,
yes,
they charge you money to send you a new one.
Yeah.
To me, that sounds like a service. I would expect to pay for that.
Me too. I'm thinking a doctor or even somebody who's, trained to look after reception with the confidentiality and the systems and organisations that involves, their time is worth money.
It says also here that the outrage, she's even used an exclamation mark. This is how serious the journalist is to make this point, that it's $20 for someone to send a fax. I think it should be more. I mean, who has a fax machine? How far do you have to
Tony
go
Abbott,
to find a fax
Tony
machine?
Tony Abbott has a fax machine, I believe.
Yeah.
Poor old Tony. Yeah, I was surprised as that as well, to say sending a fax. That seemed really odd.
I mean, surely there's only 3 or 4 people left in the country who know how your fax machine works. They're not cheap.
And
I imagine the hourly rate is quite high. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Expect it to go up, people.
A trained fax-using technician. Okay. Number 8 was generic versus branded medicine.
Yeah.
that, you know, essentially you're getting the same active ingredients in your medication.
Everyone knows this though, right?
Sorry?
Surely everyone knows this by now. There's two boxes on the shelf. One's 20, the other's 2.
Yeah.
You know,
One's sort of the no-frills one. The packaging maybe isn't as glamorous. You haven't seen the ads for it on TV.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference there? Would you go?
I always go generic. Absolutely, it's literally exactly the same thing. It's not even about a flavor thing or a presentation. It's not, you know, it's not walking the extra mile to Krispy Kreme, you know, because Wendy's didn't have what you want. It's the same thing.
So is it fair to say then that the branded medicine is a ripoff?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's really, I can't say that, can I? Because of all the people who, just, you know, have diseases that are cured by companies that make a lot of money and can reinvest.
Yeah.
In Australia in particular, I think it's a bit different because America are the ones who genuinely pay for that development and overpay, if anything. In Australia, I think, I don't know why you would pay for branded medicine.
Do you think that the companies who've done all the research to come up with the medicine that works in the first place, do they have an entitlement to get a return on their investment?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what if that investment was subsidised and funded in other ways by the government to start with our money?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just how
it is. Enjoy
right?
that circular argument?
Yeah, it was good. It was very good. I wasn't expecting it. It threw me a curveball. But I don't know. Is it that much of a problem? That's the thing. I mean, specifically speaking, you know, what particular drugs in Australia are costing the consumer too much money?
I must admit, I consider myself lucky to be healthy enough to not have to be confronted with this every day. And I acknowledge there are a lot of Australians out there that aren't in that situation with, you know, a substantial
part of their
income. I've
never seen them
on
the show. I mean, I don't buy drugs in shops normally. It's a street corner. But but I don't know about if there's a generic in it versus a government-funded. We'll see. Well, I had to say that at this hour. Yeah,
is it a properly packaged Whiz Fizz sherbet or is it one that comes just in some brown paper?
No comment.
Okay.
What was next? Counting down number 7.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get to any great resolution this morning on generic versus branded medicine.
I don't think so.
Repackaged snacks. So what they mean by that is when you go to convenience stores and they have these funny plastic cups that have got mixed lollies in them. So basically someone has just pulled apart a whole lot of different bags of snakes and maybe strawberries and cream and milk bottles and they've conveniently put
this is, I think, is incorrect, though, because I don't think at all that this has anything to do with a markup or profit. I think this is the only way you can sell those disgusting banana lollies. And that's all it is.
Oh, a bit harsh on the bananas. Look, I'll give you my PO box, Joe. Anytime you get a banana you don't want, you just send it to me and I'll give it the home it deserves.
Yeah, I think that's, again, it falls under the Captain Obvious category of, you know, I'm not really learning anything from being told that repackaged snacks might cost a little bit more.
Yeah.
Isn't that just the nature of it?
Yeah.
Do we not?
Well, I think so as well. You run that exciting risk of it, you know, them potentially having been handled by a convenience store worker who's, you know, during the quiet times had to separate the bags of Allens and lollies into different plastic cups and to sell for a little bit more money.
I hadn't thought that. No, I'm definitely never.
You thought it was a sterile machine doing it?
Well, the thing is, they all come out tasting like those disgusting banana lollies anyway, so I don't know. I've just never really dabbled.
Oh, yeah. It's like Earl Grey tea bags. If they're in the cupboard, everything smells
exactly,
of Earl Grey.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the coriander of the lolly world.
Okay, the next one.
Booking fees. You've probably got experience with this.
I do.
You book gigs.
Yeah. I know my preference because I sell tickets to our comedy shows, I generally go with one ticket provider who charges 50 cents. They used to only charge 30 cents. They've recently smacked it up to a whopping 50 cents ticket booking charge for a customer, which actually I think is quite reasonable. And if I was paying, I'd pay with joy in my heart and a smile on my face.
Mm.
That's how happy I am about that low ticket price. There are credit card fees, but I, as the ticket seller, I absorb those because they're my preferred ticketing avenue. I do use multiple ones because I do find that some people have a preferred one and they'll only buy through their preferred one and they charge significantly more.
Yeah, but see, you're talking about 50 cents, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's fair. People have got to do things. You've got to have software and things that make all that possible. Here it's sort of mentioning the sort of $9 a ticket variety.
Which I have seen.
Which is very common. I bought tickets for a gig next week, yesterday.
Yep.
And at the end, it gave me three options. I could have a text message, I could have an email to me, or they could send me a PDF. PDF and email so I could print it, or they could actually send me a physical ticket. All three options cost $5.70 for a booking per ticket. And to get a text message for what's, I'm not doing the maths right now, but essentially, you know, $11 is pretty, you know, it's a bit cheeky.
That is very cheeky.
Yeah.
Yeah. A text message costs, what, less than cents?
Yeah. It's, they're free, right? That's like, that's not a thing. And I thought, I mean, just, it's pretty, like, and you, they've got you by the cojones, don't they? They don't, there's nothing you can really do about it. You want the ticket. You can't rock up on the night and just hope for the best anymore.
Well, do you think that there's any merit then in the organisers putting the ticket fee into the ticket? Like, it's basically saying, advertising
the ticket
prices. I've
always wondered why they didn't, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just tack on the extra five and no one's going to know. I think this is one, this is probably the most contentious of this list, because I think it's the one that people really don't understand.
So do you think we don't mind being shafted as long as we don't know that we're being shafted?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ignorance is bliss in this
case.
Yeah.
It's like an all-inclusive, like, weekend away or something. There's a reason it costs five times the amount as if you did it yourself. You don't have to worry about it. No, absolutely.
Yeah,
but
if,
I'm all
if you
for
actually
it.
Measured how many
bring me the champagne
of pre-champagne
and leave me alone. Like, absolutely. Absolutely. The next one is one so obvious, and it kind of ties into the next two.
It does. The five and four, I think we
should do together.
We can put in the same bottle. But, yeah.
Very good. Vitamin water.
And bottled water.
And bottled water.
Yeah.
Vitamin water, when it first came out and sort of became a thing, pre-Instagram influencers, et cetera, mind you, I remember seeing people on TV drinking it. I looked at it and thought, this is ridiculous. This society's gone too far. And I would have been, you know, a teenager at the time. So the fact that it's still getting listed on things like this, I thought, is it still around? I haven't seen one in a while.
It is, but I think maybe as well you've chosen to look elsewhere. You know, you're focusing on more important things.
Have you ever had a vitamin vicinity. Water?
I have, yeah. A long time ago now. It was well over 10 years ago.
Mm.
And, I didn't feel that it changed my life.
No.
Have you?
I vaguely remember having tried it back in the day. I don't think I'd pay for it, though. But that's flavoured, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort
and
of a prepared
very
beverage,
lightly flavoured.
Very lightly flavoured.
Yeah. If you were
like homeopathic Powerade.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. It won a Choice Shonky Award in 2008. There you go. And bottled water. Bottled water, I'm funny about, because in Australia it has to be mineral water, right? I believe. It has to be, you know, a specialty product. It's not just, you can't just bottle tap water in Australia.
Oh, no. I think Coca-Cola's Mount Franklin is regularly referred to as
from Mount Franklin?
It's bottled tap water.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
I've read, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly, yeah.
Hello, Mr. Coca-Cola, if you're listening.
Yeah. I don't know. I know in America it's very big industry is bottling tap water and selling it off. To be fair, I think that's brilliant. Like, if you can make money out of that, that's a capitalist world.
Well, I've recently been listening to Seth Godin, who's a marketing guru, and from what I can understand, an ethical one, but he points out that there's a huge market for bottled water, and he points out the ridiculousness of it. And in fact, in a seminar, I think it was in a TED talk that he did, he showed there was a water industry magazine that was 180 pages.
Yeah, amazing.
Including pages advertising different water brands.
Yeah.
And he said, that's what we've come to.
Yeah, but I'm all for it. Like, people are pretty stupid, you know. It's a sad truth.
Well, is it a common fashion thing, do you think?
I think
you know,
so.
If you
Fiji water.
If you don't have $10,000 to spend on a new outfit for your Instagram photos, you know, maybe the way that you distinguish yourself from the pack is by the brand of water.
Do you have a favourite brand?
Of water?
Yeah.
Tap. Yeah.
I've had this theory for a while that if the best hangover cure would be, and this would be impossible to test, but diving into a pool of chilled San Pellegrino sparkling water, I think would be an amazing experience. If I am ever rich enough, I'm going to try that.
Wow.
That's just a thought. I feel like you'd sink, though, because the water would be lighter than the human body, right?
Okay. But that could help, you know, at least temporarily.
Maybe.
Restoring your
Yeah, that's my theory.
Vigor.
I would pay for that. Other than that, though, I'm happy with tap. Number three, though.
Yeah.
Number three is one that separates, you know, the entitled from the realistic in our society, I think.
I think that's a good call.
Mm.
It's cakeage. So cakeage at restaurants, being charged to bring your own cake, presumably for a birthday celebration at a restaurant. You've had a little bit of experience with this personally, Joe?
Absolutely. Yeah, I worked in restaurants for years. And the sort of people that just turn up assuming it's all fine to just bring a cake are the sort of people you generally don't want in your restaurant anyway. I mean, there are a lot of things to consider. For one, a dessert's about, you know, $15. You got 10 people, that's $150 they're not going to be spending on desserts. You know, it can be a bit of a pain, you know, takes up fridge space that's just pretty precious.
Yes.
In kitchens and bars. And it usually just goes hand in hand with this sense of entitlement that you can just bring food to a restaurant. You wouldn't bring a steak, you know, to a restaurant. You know, often places won't even let you BYO wine. Why should you be able to turn up with your own food? I don't get it.
And it's interesting. It never occurred to me that people would do that. They would BYO their own food to a restaurant.
Mm.
Yet in looking for, I've been scouting for new comedy venues or extra comedy venues recently, and there were two fairly substantial clubs that I visited, and both of them had signs prominently displayed on the front door as well as throughout the venue saying, please don't bring your own food and drink into our venue.
I've seen some pretty amazing stuff. I've had to kick people out of venues I've run before because of literally turning up with a full picnic and trying to set up, you know, in an area of the bar. Cheese boards.
Is it like some flash mob thing? Somebody's done a flash mob dare. Let's go to this
almost,
restaurant and take a picnic.
Yeah, I worked in one venue that had this quite a famous sort of entertainment area. Beyonce had a party there. The Rolling Stones had a party there. And a woman turned up with literally, you know, she had balloons, she had confetti, you name it. It was like a five-year-old's birthday party. It was for someone's engagement, and it was awful. I had to kick 30 people out. She was in tears, but I'm sorry. I don't have any. I haven't got time for that.
Yeah. Mm. One thing we did mention in our discussions about this before the show was cakeage I don't have a problem with. Corkage I do have a problem with when I'm paying for the service to have my wine opened and poured for me and it doesn't get opened and poured for me.
That's fair enough.
You know money for nothing. Yeah. I think, and maybe because I'm old enough to remember when wine did have corks in the bottles and part of...
Hey, lots of wine still does. Some of the best.
A few of them do, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I guess champagne still does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think if you're paying for a service, you should get it. But yeah, this is my... I'm using this platform as a public service announcement to all our listeners. Don't turn up with a cake to a restaurant without asking first. And you know, if unless you want to potentially be disappointed, as is suggested in this article, that's my... That's my sage advice.
Yeah, look, even from the other side of the desk here, I think that's quite reasonable. Okay, number two was rental cards. Yeah. Some real estate agents issue BPAY cards to tenants that incurs a 75-cent fee each time you use it to pay your rent. And if you pay rent fortnightly, it's $19.50 in fees per year. If you pay weekly, it's going to be even more, maybe double that.
Mm. I've never experienced this.
Neither have I.
By the time I was renting, everything's on an app.
Right.
And BPAY and what have you.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise there was a rental card situation. Paying, what is it, $19 a year? I don't know. There are other options, surely.
Yeah.
You can pay cash. People can sort that out.
Okay.
We're adults. Number one, this is so obvious, though. Do you want to say it? I feel like everyone knows it already.
Okay. I will say it. It's popcorn. Popcorn at the movies.
Yeah.
So the article, you know, points out that cinemas put a staggering markup on the price of popcorn when you consider you can buy a 100-gram bag of popcorn for about $2, that makes about 8 servings.
How much is a popcorn maker? You know, can you plug one in, you know, in the cinema?
Yeah.
Can you bring your own butter? Can you get it as good as the cinemas? Like, I've never been able to make it as good as they do.
Yeah. Do you have a disgruntled teenager cook it for you?
What about three screaming kids, you know, who want the popcorn? Like, I don't think any parent's going to argue with $8.
Well, that's right. It's fulfilling a need.
Mm.
So for some people...
This is literally the equivalent of saying, oh, why would you go to Rockpool when he's got $80 steaks on the menu? You can just go down to Harris Farm and get yourself a porterhouse for $15.95 and cook it yourself.
Yeah. It's a completely different experience. Thing. No, exactly. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that one's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. My thing with popcorn is it's 90% air. So it's just not filling. That's if anything.
Well, that's like Aero bars.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bubbles of nothing that make it really nothing.
Oh, God. Was that a marketing slogan?
Reporting it from a news point of view, yes.
Yeah. My favourite's couscous. The rice so nice you have to say it twice.
Well, we've got way more out of that story than I thought we would. Yeah. So you are listening to 2SER 107.3. Hopefully you're watching out for any potential rip-offs out there. And even if you do pay over the odds, hopefully it's because you feel that you're still getting value for money for the service that's being provided. The track we're going to listen to now, between stories, this is I Am Free, Shelley Short and the Sure Shots. You're on 2SER 107.3, stories, ideas and music.
Sailing in between the land, the air and me.
Since we last heard from Seeker, Lover, Keeper, the powerhouse trio of Sarah Blasco, Sally Seltman and Holly Throsby. But this week they return at their most collaborative on the flourishing Wild Seeds, the new 2SER feature album. Listen to Breakfast, Drive and Static for your chance to win a copy. Wild Seeds by Seeker, Lover, Keeper. This week's feature album on 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music.
You are on 2SER 107.3 and you're listening to Joe and Sean in the Vulture's Nest this morning. We have been talking about rip-offs and the top 10 rip-offs identified by news.com.au this week, which we don't necessarily agree with, and nor do we think that there's some of the biggest financial problems faced by Australians today.
Yeah.
But it seems that the article has at least succeeded in one of its aims. It's got us talking about it. The other story that grabbed our attention out of the news this week involved a little bit of noise.
It's the most Sydney story ever.
Well, it's set in Manly, so on Sydney's...
Unsurprisingly.
Yeah, on Sydney's northern beaches. And what's happened is a resident near a park near the beach at Manly has complained about the noise of, you know, the disturbing, annoying noise of children playing. Children enjoying themselves.
Isn't it just
children
the worst? Can't you? Yeah. How? How can you put up with it?
The ear-bleeding atrocity of it.
How dare these breeders think they can just take their children down to a local area paid
to a public
for
park.
By the locals where they live, to a public park, and just let them run riot?
Yeah.
I mean, who do they think they are?
So the council have jumped right on this, apparently. From the story, it would appear that it says that as a result of a complaint from one person, they've erected a sign. They've printed and erected a sign saying, out of respect for our neighbours, please...
Should say neighbour.
That's right.
Yeah.
Please keep... They're trying to make it look bigger than
they're
it is.
They're trying to.
Please keep noise to a minimum while playing in this area.
Mm.
And I think, firstly, that discriminates against kids who can't read.
I've quite like this story because of the backlash it's triggered. It's about time Sydney side has realised what they've put up with for too long, which is this nanny state nonsense. I mean, you're talking about a kid's play area. Kids aren't that loud. I mean, they're screaming stuff. But if you're over the road and you've got your doors and your windows shut, I don't see the problem. You know, it's not like having a fracking, you know, machine or whatever going on next door.
Yeah. Just turn the volume up when you're listening to 2SER 107.3.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you'll hear the soft, lovely sounds of
stories,
Joe and I coming
and
at
music.
You slightly louder.
Slightly
and we'll,
louder.
We'll drown out the, you know,
I, yeah.
the pleasant sound of kids playing.
It's such a Sydney story, though. It has whiffs of the classic Luna Park one from so long ago, where residents moved in next door to the roller coaster,
yes,
knowing it was there, and then all complained and said it's too loud. What are we going to do? I mean, it's a roller coaster.
Several decades ago, I worked for a car dealer who had been there for 5 or 6 decades, and a resident went on a campaign with the council to basically get the dealership shut down because occasionally when trucks pulled into the driveway, that he felt it was inconveniencing him and posing an unnecessary inconvenience to him.
Do you think we put too much, give residents too much weight in Sydney? Do you think we should ignore them?
I think part of it's the case of the, was it the noisy wheel getting the grease?
Squeakiest wheel gets the grease, yeah.
So this fella's jumped up and down, or maybe not even jumped up and down,
yeah,
but had a stern word with his local council representative. Action's been taken, and now they've removed the sign because they've...
Well, this is the best part, isn't it? They fear backlash for the wealthy man who owns a mansion overlooking the off-leash dog park. It's very manly, isn't it? I don't know. There's just so many examples of this in Sydney now. I don't find it surprising, sadly.
Well, and it's not in my backyard, the whole NIMBY thing as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see yet again that Parliament are discussing, I think it's been requested to have a parliamentary inquiry into the merits of nuclear energy. Mm. And yet again, yeah, part of it is ignoring what are we going to do with all the nuclear waste?
Right.
So although there's already systems in place to get rid of the nuclear waste that's already generated by Lucas Heights, let's explore
gotta,
the options.
You've got to give it to the government. Their timing on things is an amazing act. Chernobyl's currently the number one viewed show in the world on HBO, I believe, and that's the week they decide. It's time we talked about the option of nuclear. I don't know. I'm skeptical. Maybe they could turn this kid's park into a nuclear power station and see how he likes that.
Yeah. Joe, have you ever been annoyed by the sound of kids playing?
Possibly, but not enough that I would
want the council to intervene.
It'd probably be my fault being like hung over at midday or something. You know, it's not like I don't think it's ever been an inconvenience. Kids playing, it's like a happy sound, right?
Yeah. So if you're living next to a public park where kids play, you're not going
to
get...
I chose to move in there, I mean, let's be honest, who's forced to live in a mansion in Manly? Like, the guy bought the place, I'm guessing. He's chosen it's opposite a park. Yeah,
It's in a popular tourist place, so you know...
Suck
that,
eggs.
You know that there are going to be tourists coming there doing touristy things.
Touristy things. Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of Scrooge McDuck-like, isn't it? You know, being... That's the character from Christmas Carol writers, hating on children, right? Like just
Ebenezer Scrooge, blended with the Disney character,
right?
Yes.
Right, yeah. I'm we talked about it last week. I'm not au fait with the Disney, but it seems to me like slow news week, maybe.
Okay. Well, we might draw the slow news week to a close then. Not necessarily that story has been completely resolved, but it seems that for now at least the council has seen reason.
Next week we'll have something from Florida as usual.
back to our usual news sources. Thank you very much to my guest in the nest today, Joe Cutcliffe, for discussing some of the news of the week.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thank you very much for listening to The Vulture's Nest here on 2SER 107.3. Coming up next here on 2SER, Nicole has curated for you the best in arts, theatre, music, pop culture, and she's sharing all of that with you from 11 o'clock. To keep your ears tingling until then, what we're going to do is take another track. We're going to listen to Buses Splash with Rain by Frankie Cosmos, and we're hoping this doesn't cause too many complaints from the neighbours. 2SER 107.3.
I'm the kind of girl buses splash with rain. I'm the kind of girl buses splash with rain.